No Pat today. That's all right. It's National Signing Day. Some flips. Trouble with the Gators, maybe. Also, Pac-2 finds a home. We end up talking about Komodo Dragons.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I watch a lot of Animal Attack YouTube, as we know. And they're patient, too. It's really about the fast switch, though.
Russ Gellinger.
See, Jeff Traylor, good thing you didn't get that Texas A&M job. You wouldn't have probably gotten a coffee bath and coffee down your crack.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod, National Signing Day. Actually, it's the early signing period. National Signing Day is not officially until February. 99 of the top 100 were expected to sign today. Gatlin Bear from Idaho is waiting. That's it. He was a Boise State commit. He's now Oregon or Michigan. He wants to see if Harbaugh is still there or something like that. He's going on a two-year Mormon mission anyway. So that's it. So National Signing Day is at all intents and purposes moved to December. The early signing day, of course, was the brainchild of some coaches that wanted to, you know, their 10 or 15 guys that were super committed sign early. Then they could not have to babysit them and concentrate on the rest. Of course, as was going to be obvious, everybody went to early. And now the whole operation has moved to this rando Wednesday before Christmas.
Right in the middle of everything else.
Right in the middle of everything else.
Bowls, playoff prep, the transfer portal, coaches moving jobs. Yeah. And, you know, I was always under the understanding that while it was a few coaches who wanted that too, some of the players and recruits wanted to sign early. Some of them want to sign as early as possible. And so it was a lot of, I think part of it was a lot of that too.
So they listened to the players. Once. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
This needs to go. Next year will be even worse.
Yeah.
Playoff games. How are you preparing? Right. Ryan Day held a press conference today. He had to leave the press conference twice. There were two lengthy delays in his press conference as he was getting hustled away, like when George Bush was reading to the children, right? And he had to go, and then he come back. Like, did you get that call from Buford, Georgia? I can't say. Right? Like, that's – they can't even do a press conference without having to leave. How is he – imagine if he's prepping for a game. Like, it's just – this has got to move. Now, more and more kids enroll early, right, in January. It used to be only the quarterbacks. Now more kids. C.J. Carr, a Notre Dame commit, is at their bowl practices and on the bowl trip. Jeremiah Beasley is a Michigan commit who, before even signing his national letter of intent, was at – he's on their playoff. He can't play, but he's in all the prep, right? So like these guys are – once their finals for sophomore senior year are over and they graduate early – they can show up. So it's kind of weird. So kids want to go early. We're getting super early, but you don't have to sign a letter of intent to enroll at a university. So I would just let the kids that want to enroll early to enroll and then have the signing day in February for everybody else and get rid of all this part.
Yeah. Well, we've talked on the pod before about, plenty of coaches and administrators have thrown out ideas on, you know, how to fix the signing day situation. And one of them was a floating national letter of intent that at the start of, you know, a player's junior year or whatever, or senior year, they can then begin to sign whenever they want to. Or when a school offers some kind of commitment and sends the papers, you know, again, it just, you could sign. If you get the papers, then you can sign as soon as you get the papers. So I don't know. And then there's thoughts of, as we've discussed on here before, you know, having it in August or July. I mean, I don't know. A big part of me feels like, you know, early enrollees can still enroll early like they did back in the day when signing day was in February. Just move it back to February and let them continue to enroll early if they want to.
Yeah, early National Signing Day was created in 2017. So, I mean, this is a recent creation. Reading this from AL.com, Casa Grande's column, which he wants to move it back. Nick Saban back in 2017, I don't think it's in the player's best interest. I don't see where it benefits anybody. It's really stressful for everyone when we're all trying to get ready for bowl games and playoff games, and we have a signing date right in the middle when we're going to be practicing for a playoff game. He said this before the portal. So I don't know. I guess who thinks this is a good idea?
Well, I think you mentioned it off the top about coaches at certain places who want to secure their athlete, their commits, right, and don't want them poached by others. That was a problem, certainly, having coaches babysit, like you said, babysit kids through January, and to make sure they're not poached away. And then I think there was, at least the administrators that I spoke to, they would point to recruits or recruits' parents wanting to get the process over with and to do it as quick as possible. So there was some claim that, you know, that this was going to benefit the recruits who wanted to get it over with. And I think you're seeing the numbers, like you said, 99 of the top 100. I think if you go back 5-7 years when it started, I remember doing a story the last couple of years around early national signing day, and about 85-90% of the top 300 sign on early signing period. So clearly the recruits want to do it early. I mean,
well, yeah. And I think there's pressure to grab your spot, right? They'll give it to somebody else.
Yep.
It's interesting. So, like, you know, well, they don't want them poached. Is it a poach or is it reconsideration? Depends on how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Coaches leave, program momentum. I don't know. I mean, I get why. We're going to talk about Florida. Florida did not have a good sign. Is not having a good signing day. University of Florida, Billy Napier. On November 11th, they had the number 3 recruiting class in the country. They now have the number 15th. Actually, they had number 3 recently. I'm reading this one. This is an Ari Wasserman. We talk about him a lot when recruiting of The Athletic. Since November 11th, they've lost a 5-star cornerback to Texas, defensive lineman to Auburn, a defensive lineman to Miami, a defensive end to Auburn, a safety to Texas, and a defensive lineman to Georgia. 6 top 150 players since November 11th. So Billy Napier would have liked the November 10th signing day. Not good for
the August 1. Yeah,
he would have gone for that. But like maybe all these guys found a better spot for them.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what's the goal. Is it for the, I don't know what the goal is. The goal for the schools to clamp a guy down that maybe it doesn't fit, or because then they just enter the transfer portal, or I don't know.
I miss the old signing day, not only the attention on it, because we see the attention today, right? There's just so much going on, other stuff going on, as we mentioned earlier. That the attention isn't all on signing day. So you kind of miss that old school attention on signing day. But also you just kind of miss the January leading up to it is always pretty wild. And it just the November, December leading up to this, there's too much going on. You're in the middle of the season and all this stuff, coaches movement and all this, that you really – it doesn't get the focus that January's in-home visits and all that did, where coaches, you know, are trying to flip recruits and get players committed at the last minute. And you just had that January was always pretty exciting after the national championship game, those 3 weeks or so leading into February. Yeah,
and the coaches have more time to have like visits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You also have, you know, I don't know. Like, I understand it's a totally different academic world that an elite recruit is working in than most normal high school kids. But, like, there is a thing in high school called finals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got to kind of study. You know, you buckle down a little bit for a week, and it's like I was in Miami on Sunday. I was in L.A. on mm-hmm. Tuesday. Like, what is going on? I just don't see how this works. Here's the thing. There are so many things that the NCAA is incapable of solving. They're going to get sued. They've made bad deals in the past. There's too much, like, money at stake. This is a really easy one. Just get rid of the thing and go back to 2016. I don't think it's a bad... I don't know who loses. This is simple, but I don't know if there's any movement to that. Like, we're lobbying Congress. We're fighting 14 different lawsuits. We're doing this. We're doing that. It's like, how about you just move signing day to February?
Well, I think the transfer portal and the rate at which coaches are moving around are two things that probably are going to lead to some change around it, I have to think. You saw Greg Sankey and a couple other commissioners over the last year or so speak out about the clogged December, which is going to get more clogged, you know, next year with first round playoff games. So I think something is going to change here soon.
So Florida Gators, Billy Napier, 2 years in, has not on the field, that has not taken off. Part of one of the reasons he replaced Dan Mullen was Dan Mullen's recruiting was not exciting the fan base. Napier was expected to do a little better than that. He hasn't quite yet. This isn't a bad recruiting class. There's still, you know, there's still potential. As we talk right now, DJ Lagway, the five-star quarterback, and great defensive lineman LG McCray are still committed. They apparently haven't signed yet. This is at 4 p.m. Lagway's dad is talking to reporters. He's like, yeah, he's going to sign with Florida. Wait, oh no, Lincoln Riley called. He left and started talking to Lincoln again. Like, there's a TikTok right now. We're right in the middle of it that's just driving Gator fans, and it's probably not trending well. But this is not the class that is going to thrill Gator fans. And I know you're not following it too closely, but what are your thoughts on if Billy Napier doesn't, after this? Right now they have one top 100 signed, Miles Graham. That's it, one top 100 player. They have 2 5 stars who haven't quite signed. Maybe they both signed, maybe neither signs, maybe one of them signs. I don't know. That ain't the class that they've had. Like we said, in the last 5 to 6 weeks, they had 6 top 150s leave.
You got to wonder, I go back to what happened last year with Florida in the Jaden Rashada situation and the whole NIL situation. Did all of that impact what's happening now, especially from a NIL standpoint? I wonder if there's some hesitancy with players because of that. I don't know. I don't know, but certainly Billy Napier, I think he's 3 games below 500. He's going 11-14 in his 2 years with the Gators, 3-5 in the SEC, both of those seasons. It's time to win at some point on or off the field, and the pressure is on to do that. If Florida is obviously a place. I think, you know, when you look at recruiting rankings in that state, they're usually top 3, right? With Georgia, Florida, you know, California, Texas, all those are usually in the top population wise, and also per capita for high school players. I know Florida, Georgia, and all that are always right there.
Well, there's players.
So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of that, and it would be a pretty significant problem if you lose these 2 remaining 5 stars, I would think.
Yeah, well, if that happens, it's bad. Look, Let's see where they're at. Florida State is 6th. Miami is 7th in the rankings. Miami's come on strong with some flips and poaches and all that. It's Florida that's suffering. And I don't know. You kind of, if you ain't winning, you better be recruiting. And right now, Florida isn't. Also, it's just, I know it's different. Like you can, the portal has changed the way you can acquire players. And University of Florida is a terrific place, but it's really hard in that league. They're 15th nationally, and at this very moment, they're 8th in the SEC in recruiting. So there's 7 schools that did better than you, and you know these schools are loading up. Everyone's getting 5 stars. Everybody's getting top 100 players. It's just really hard to overcome that in that league. This isn't the Big Ten where you might only have 1 or 2 teams that are recruiting pretty well. Pac-12, like SEC is just, it's tough. And there's enough players in Florida, but not for all 3 schools kind of. You just don't want to be seen as that third one. I don't know what it is about Napier or what it is about Florida that didn't happen this year. We talked about this before. He's going into a season. 2024 schedule. Miami at home, Samford, I'm sorry. They get A&M at home. They're at Mississippi State. UCF is there another non-con. At Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, at Florida State. Ooh, brother.
Mm-hmm. The last 5 games are, yeah, they're
the last 5 doozy. Yeah. Crazy. And that in the last, I mean, at Tennessee and Kentucky and to, there's nothing there. There's no breaks. You got Samford. So I would not want to have a bad record and a bad team going into that November and trying to survive that run. Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss at home, then at Florida State. So a lot of pressure on Billy Napier. And this is we'll see how this signing day goes. I can tell you from message board geniuses that the Gator fans are not handling it very well here at 4 p.m. They're not sympathetic that sometimes kids change their mind. Might be surprised.
Usually they're so understanding too. Oh, the Gator fans, you know, usually they're calm and reasonable.
They're very reasonable. The 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds making up their mind. I do love this on signing day here. We have NIL now. You might have heard. You can pay the play. Every time someone loses a recruit, the fans scream about how the other team just paid more. Like,
yeah,
that's like that. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Like in free agency, is someone like, you yell at the Dodgers because they paid more to get Ohtani? I mean, like,
it's been happening for a while.
That's like, well, why wouldn't they? That's the goal, is to get them. You go to an auction and go, I didn't get the painting. The other guy bid more.
Total. The other team is always cheating, Dan.
It's not cheating.
Well, I know. Now it's not cheating. Kind of cheating. Yeah. It is cheating. It's an inducement, recruiting inducement. But
not a recruiting inducement.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more here. It wasn't as exciting of a flip. I was really hoping for flip miss. Didn't happen. Ryan Day was not hoping for flip miss, and he got his way. He had two 4-stars leave this week, one for Oregon, one for Miami. And he walked into signing day worried about 3 guys. One did leave, a wide receiver, but he kept the 2 big ones, the number one player in the country by 24/7 and top 5 by almost everyone, Jeremiah Smith, big-time receiver from South Florida, held off Miami and Florida State for that one. And they then kept Edrick Houston, who's a 5-star defensive end from Georgia, that Nick Saban was going after hard the last week, and the recruiting gurus had flipped their crystal balls to Bama, and not so fast. Ryan Day held on. Ryan Day, during his press conference, I said he had 2 breaks. It was a wild press conference. He's informed in the middle of the press conference that Jeremiah Smith had just held his own press conference, dueling press conferences down in Florida, and committed to the Buckeyes. And Day said, really? And then they said, yeah. And he said, geez. And then he faked fainting. I'm sure you've all seen it.
Weak at the knees.
Yes. Yeah, he was... exhaled. But the exhale was real. Like,
yeah.
Like, this could have been bad. So Ohio State needed a win. They just needed something positive. And holding on to the recruits, that counts. For they had lost 15 guys in the portal, including their quarterback. They didn't really have a quarterback. We're not sure what's going on there. And they obviously lost to Michigan. So I thought this was a good day for Ryan Day.
Ohio State might want to think about pushing Ryan Day's press conference to later in the day.
It was weird.
On signing day instead of right in the middle, leaving a news conference. Which struck me about when he learned, who was it that he learned during the press
Jeremiah
conference?
Smith.
Yeah, Jeremiah Smith. He did kind of later on in the reaction fake, kind of like he was collapsing. Mm. But yeah, the relief on his face, in the sigh of relief when he was told that as he was leaning against the podium was pretty hilarious. I always imagine like college sports, you know, it's just weird. And if aliens came down and landed on us from a spaceship and saw what was happening at a college football game, or certainly on college football signing day, a 40-something-year-old man nearly collapsing at a podium because he found that a 17-year-old's coming to school at his program. I mean, it's just all bizarre, you know.
At a press conference, like 100 people.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many questions at this press conference.
Yeah.
It was an hour plus. And it was live on, like, 14 YouTube channels.
I think Ohio State has the biggest local traveling, at least beat writing horde, I believe, in the country of any program. I think Ohio State does. Yeah.
Bama is big. The Bama's got a lot, too.
Bama's big. Texas is pretty big.
Ohio, but, I would think. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cities in Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all staff it. They have more newspapers than Alabama. I don't know if Alabama has any more newspapers. They just have like one website.
Yeah.
And then they got all these fan sites. There's a lot of people. Anyway, yeah, it was, I mean, it's a whole elaborate thing. It is kind of weird. But anyway, that's where we're at. I'm not seeing any updates on Lagway yet. So we'll keep you posted as this go. Other than that, news flash, Georgia and Alabama both got a lot of good players.
Mm, shocking.
Pretty big. Yeah. Oh, that's a stunner. The top 10 rivals recruits did end up signing with 10 different schools. First time ever. We certainly have talked about that. NIL coming through. Yeah, everything else. I mean, Auburn got a couple late flips. Miami did some flipping. The transfer portal's taken a little of the excitement out of this, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you have, well, think about it, you know, when you are talking about players who you fans, for the most part, and even media, have never seen play, high school players, never seen really play on the field, and you're talking about 2-3 year veteran college players who everybody has seen, some of these players everybody has seen play some in huge games. I mean, shoot, didn't one of Georgia's best players just leave for Kentucky? You know, like, so that the excitement for the transfers is understandable compared to high school players. Just the familiarity by itself.
Yeah, you want a high school QB, you want Cam Ward,
right?
You know, what do you want?
Who are still waiting on.
Still waiting
by the
on.
Way, all right. Still waiting on. Cam Ward seems to be deciding between not two schools, but the NFL or Miami.
Right. And this was one of the things. If he had gone to Miami, was Malachi, I mean, was, I'll get to Malachi, no, was that Jeremiah Smith then going to go to Miami? Again, that, like, I don't know. Go through it. Malachi Nelson last year, one of the top 5-star QBs going to USC, next big thing, he leaves. So it's a little like that. Like last year, we would have sat here and talked about how great USC was doing getting Malachi Nelson. Instead, he didn't really have a good year. Lincoln Riley, it was very nice how they all broke up. It was a very sweet breakup they had. They're still going to be friends.
Amicable.
It was. Yeah, they're the Nelson, Eric Nelson, Malachi's father, talked to 24/7 Sports and very complimentary. And Lincoln was basically, Riley was basically like, yeah, you know, we as coaches, we're used to like, you want those stories of the guys that struggle at the beginning and then end up being great, but now they're not going to stick around. And so it just seemed like he didn't have a good year up there. And so he's moving on. My most interesting thing on this was Eric Nelson talking, and he said, we've heard from over 50 schools, some big, some small, and it's been a blessing. So many interested in Malachi. We're doing our due diligence. They want to narrow it down to 5 and then make a pick. He said, a lot of people, not just for us, but a lot of people back in high school, you get caught up in how big a school is, how big their brand is. I'm dead serious when I say we don't really care how big a school, if they're a blue blood or not. We're just looking for the best all-around fit where Malachi can come in, compete for a starting spot in the spring. Not asking for guarantees, just a chance to be a day one starter, to lead a program, win a championship, be a leader, and do the right things off the field. I mean, he's been linked to like TCU, Tulane, some of those schools as real possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of goes to what we're talking about with Kyle McCord. Like, the QBs just want to start. And that's what he's suggesting is probably the right way to go, not sitting there saying how big's your stadium or whatever, or all the ridiculous things that everyone gets caught up on.
Well, think about kind of this day and age for visibility purposes in thus for the NFL purposes, where all these athletes want to end up. You don't have to go to a big brand, right? I mean, most of everybody's on TV. Every game's pretty much on TV, or certainly streamed and all that stuff. And even some of these smaller programs, they've got NIL, right? They've got an NIL collective. It might not be as much as some others, but this day more than any others, because of the visibility piece, you don't necessarily have to go to the big brands. And if you don't, yeah, then it probably is a better chance, right, of you playing, which is what they seem to all want.
Well, let's take a look here. NFL QBR ratings right now. Brock Purdy, Iowa State. Dak Prescott, Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen, Wyoming. Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech. Justin Herbert was Oregon. Kirk Cousins was Michigan State. Matthew Stafford was Georgia. Lamar Jackson was Louisville. Trevor Lawrence was Clemson. Jalen Hurts was Alabama, but he left. You know, you go on. Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa was Alabama. Jared Goff was Cal. Gardner Minshew was Washington State. Geno Smith was West Virginia. I mean, there's some big names in there, but doesn't matter.
Breaking news alert.
Uh-oh.
5-star QB DJ Lagway said on ESPN2 just now that he is signing with Florida and it's over.
Ooh. I'm gonna exhale for Billy Napier.
Be sure not to collapse, Dan.
I will not collapse. I'm not. Go Gators. All right, there you go. Well, I'm glad that our national nightmare is over. Could resolve that during the pod.
Yeah.
See, not enough flips today. Not enough flips. It's supposed to be Flipmas.
Would have had more this February signing day, probably.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. All right. Well, that ends that excitement. Yeah, like I said, not as good a thing. All right. We do have other news, though, including the Pac-2 has found a home. What's the situation here? It's a little clunky, but it seems like the Mountain West Pac-2 has settled.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of people thought that the Pac-2, which struck a deal with the Mountain West for football, a scheduling agreement for football for the next 2 seasons, Oregon State and Washington State, they have been searching for a spot for their other sports. And I think the thought was by many that basketball would end up in the Mountain West, and that's not the case. So basketball in the other sports except baseball. So all other sports except baseball and obviously football going to the Mountain West, but all other sports in basketball included are going to the West Coast Conference. So that's at least what they're working towards. So it'll be an affiliate agreement for the Olympics, their Olympic sports, including basketball, with the West Coast Conference, where they'll be counted on, their teams will be counted in the standings. They'll compete for the automatic qualifier and conference championships, you know, the WCC softball tournament, the WCC basketball tournaments. Oregon State and Washington State will compete in those and compete for a spot in the NCAA field. Baseball for Oregon State and Washington State is still homeless. I don't know what exactly is going on there, but, you know, a school like Oregon State has been a perennial baseball power now for a decade or more, won a couple of national championships. They could probably patch together an independent schedule. Maybe they both end up patching together an independent schedule and play as an independent. So that's the latest there. You've got pretty much all the sports in WCC except for football in the Mountain West and baseball maybe eventually as an independent. There's a financial incentive type of package like we saw with the Mountain West football package. Not sure exactly the details of that, but the WCC is getting something for allowing Oregon State and Washington State into their league for probably 2 years. It's a 2 year cycle right now.
Pretty good situation for Washington State and Oregon State. As a fan of college football, I'm happy. I think the Mountain West, whatever they're going to call this, is going to be pretty good. These guys get a ton of money and should have an advantage walking into that league, right? They get all the money. Yeah. And so they get Power 5 money, if not more, for the next how many years? And then can walk into a good league, and that league's going to be very, very good. And I don't know. You think they're the odds-on favorite every year to have the automatic bid?
Well,
the non-power
not in basketball. Four? I don't. We think about
not basketball, football.
Football. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you look at other, you know, G5 programs, and yeah, you think of what immediately comes to mind is. A program that, like we saw this year, right, Liberty, which has endless amounts of money, and has a new coach, Jimmy Chadwell, went undefeated this year, although, again, didn't play a great schedule, and they probably need to beef up that schedule. But, yeah, teams like – I mean, I feel like there's 8 to 10 group of 5 teams that resource-wise you could see every year be in that mix for that group of 5 spot, and it's the Liberties, it's the Memphises, it's the, yeah, Tulane as we've seen. And then you look out west at teams like Boise and San Diego State and Oregon State and Washington State. Yeah, that would be kind of those would kind of be the grouping that resource wise and historically you could see those teams vying for that spot.
And there's UTSA.
Mm-hmm.
They're going pretty good. They played in the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Mm,
this week,
a coffee
see
bath.
This?
Yeah,
it's a coffee bath, huh? Bath. You got an iced coffee bath out of a big coffee cup, which is pretty good, and led to this immortal quote from Jeff Traylor. I will always remember the coffee running down my crack right now.
See, Jeff Traylor, good thing you didn't get that Texas A&M job. You wouldn't have probably gotten the coffee bath and coffee down your crack.
I mean, that is an all-timer. I don't know how many people have ever had coffee poured down there.
Mm. No, I can't say that I have, Dan.
Very few people on earth.
Every dime that these bowl legislators have been paid is deserved.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we get from the Sickos Bowls that take place before all the big ones. We need this as fans.
Hell yeah, we need it. It's been fun bowl season. That's why I hate all the people like there's too many bowls. No, there aren't. No, they're not.
Look at, did you see the ratings of already some of the bowls that came through? Give me a minute. And I'll have to go pull it up. But there were a couple of bowls. I think Stu Mandel of The Athletic, who follows the TV and the ratings quite well, tweeted out, I think it was two bowls that were recently, that were played over the weekend, exceeded like top 25 men's basketball matchups.
Oh, yeah. One of them got the same rating, audience pretty much, as North Carolina, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's about as good as you're getting in terms of that. And the other one outranked Indiana and Kansas. Yeah, the ratings are fine. The players, you call them meaningless. You watch the celebrations at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The players run around like crazy. They're all excited. Yeah, lots of young people get a chance to play maybe their first game, meaningful. There's 50-year senior guys that are dying to play one last game. The celebrations are fun. The gimmicks are out of control. There was a giant coffee cup poured on a man, and then he talked about coffee running down his crack. I'm sorry, but I'm in favor of more of that.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Yep.
Too many bowl games. It's meaningless. It's stupid.
But it's not really going to scale back as long as they continue to produce and generate the viewership, right? That they do. I mean, a low level bowl game, or what we would might consider a low level bowl game would generate a million viewers or more, and that's
good.
Huge. Like, I finally found the deal there. The LA Bowl, mm-hmm. Basically the same audience as North Carolina and Kentucky basketball. And the Celebration Bowl beat Kansas, Indiana basketball.
Those are the HBCUs playing each other. Celebration Bowl. Yeah. I hear you, man. I'm all for it. More bowls. That's why we do Bowl Bonanza. I didn't even know. I was in favor of the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, and I didn't even know they were going to dump coffee on Jeff Traylor. Wasn't even sure it was going to happen.
Get some
Scooters coffee right now to show my support.
I didn't know that existed. See, you learned something during bowl season. I didn't know Scooters coffee was a thing.
Totally a thing.
There.
All right. Communication in your helmets during bowl games. We have an update on that. Also, Michigan received a notice of allegations, not from the current Connor Stallions investigation, but the prior one. We have need different names. So called Burger Gate, not a Burger Gate. Harbaugh committed the level twos and then was less than forthcoming about it. That's the last one that he got suspended early in the year, not the new one, which got suspended late in the year. Get your facts straight. Get your scandal straight. But anyway, they're not solving the have a hamburger with anybody. Still can't meet with recruits during the dead period. Not really a hard rule to. But these Connor Stallions situation could be all moot if this communications in the helmet. We finally get to the. They finally go wireless. Because nobody on campus has any earbuds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the story?
Yeah, a lot of it could eliminate all the wild signage that we see, the tarps and the different cards,
like SpongeBob
with characters on them. Yeah, it's just bizarre. And then like the three people in each different colors, like highlight blue and red and green on the sideline with the hats and everything. We could eliminate a lot of that if this does happen. So the college football is basically experimenting with helmet. A coach to player helmet communication and sideline tablets, like iPad tablet, watching videos of replays of plays. They're experimenting with that during the bowl season. So there will be about 14, at least 14 bowls that will have one of the two, have sideline tablets or have helmet communication or have both. There's like three or four of them with both. This weekend, the Las Vegas Bowl will be the first one. It will kind of make college football history. It'll be the first game in college football history with sideline tablets and helmet communication. Northwestern plays Utah in that game. So it's kind of an experiment that college leaders are have approved. And this was approved over the summer. Let's be clear. It wasn't in response to the Michigan stuff. It just kind of was coincidental. It was approved by the Rules Committee in the summer, and it actually came from the Big Ten. The Big Ten had requested a waiver to use helmet communication in its conference games this year as like a test and experiment of its own, and the Rules Committee denied that. Yeah, but said you can use it in the bowl season. So that's what's happening. You've got, I think only so far, what is it? It's Wednesday, December 20th right now. We're talking at 4:30, and there's been, I think, three bowls, with one with helmet communication, two with the tablets. I spoke to Texas Tech coach Joey McGuire and Justin Wilcox of Cal, who played in the Independence Bowl, and they used helmet communication, and of course they raved about it, you know, and hope that it will pass as soon as possible. Joe McGuire basically told me, "Get the dang thing passed," in his Texas tone. So he's ready to. Coaches are ready for this to happen. They've been ready for this to happen. And you know, you're probably thinking, Dan, why hasn't this happened? Why? The NFL has used it since 1994. This has been used. In fact, I went back and did some research. In 1957, it was used in the NFL by who? Brown. What am I thinking of here? Paul Brown.
Paul Brown.
By Paul Brown. Paul Brown illegally used it in 1956, actually, during a few games. This was hilarious to me. Let me read this line. Brown first used the system secretly in an exhibition game against the Detroit Lions. The Lions coaching staff noticed that Brown was not substituting players as he usually did, and they eventually spotted the transmitter behind a wooden light post on the sideline.
Oh, boy.
It's great. That was 1956. The NFL went 30 years without using it again. They outlawed it after that. But since 1994, the NFL has used this, and wondering why 30 years later college is finally experimenting it with it and hopefully going to pass it over this offseason. And there's two reasons. Number one is helmet manufacturer involves helmet manufacturers in concussion lawsuits. And to add any piece to change from a third party to change the helmet, right? It has to then go through all these standards and protocols and testing and all this stuff to get the liability. And that's a very, very big thing right now since the NCAA is in the middle of concussion lawsuits, just settled one right a few years ago, I believe. So that's number one. That's not the biggest hangup, really. The biggest hangup is cost. And it's just like anything within the NCAA, right? You have 130 FBS teams. You have another, I think it's another 100 or so, maybe, FCS teams. You have Division II, you have Division III, all this stuff. Everybody has different resources. And a lot of times the smaller schools, right, don't want to do these things and stop them from being approved because they don't have the money, right? And that's kind of what's happened. And the thing is, though, after digging in on this, it's not that expensive, right? Especially for what these schools make in revenue. And that's what the big power programs have been saying for a while, right? Let us do it. We can afford it. You can't afford it. Too bad. It's one of the most significant kind of issues, years-long issues with the NCAA, right? And we're seeing it kind of break apart in a way because of that. The top programs have the money. They want to use the money. So it cost about around $1,000 to $1,500 for each kit that goes into the helmet. And you can have 6 to 8 to 10 kits. So, you know, you're talking, $15,000,
$20,000. Right? They'll have a, you know, one person on defense and then the QB. You might alternate the defensive guys because they don't play and you need all the QB helmets, right?
Right. So this is a good note that I failed to mention about the bowl season experiment that's happening, is the NCAA Rules Committee put no restrictions on it.
Oh, everybody's
teams are getting together, the two schools in each bowl, right, that are using the technology are getting together to approve agree to their own rules. So the Texas Tech Cal game, I think Tech outfitted maybe 8 to 10 helmets with the microphone. I think Tech outfitted 8 helmets. And yeah, on offense, there was only one person that had the technology on the field, and that was the quarterback. Defense, there was as many as 3 players on the field at one time that had the capability to hear the plays. Usually a linebacker or two or a safety or two is what happened there. But that's going to be moving forward into the offseason. That's going to be a real issue for the rules committee. The two big issues on a permanent policy is, number one, how many players should have this at one point or one time on the field, have this capability. And the second issue, should it have a cutoff? Should the speaker have a cutoff like the NFL? At the 15-second mark, the NFL cuts off the microphone. But in the bowl season experiment, that's not the case. There are no rules at all. So in the Tech Cal game, coaches could and did at times talk to players right up into the snap, you know, of the ball, which is interesting. So those are two big issues that the rules committee is going to have to determine what goes into a permanent policy.
I did a story on this. I also heard from someone who was on the committee like 7 years ago, and they said when they were approached with this, they were worried because in the NFL, and it does happen, sometimes the communication goes out. Mm-hmm. So then the other team's got to give up their helmet for the time being, and they can't use it unless both sides are working. And these guys were like, it sounds like a headache, because they're like athletic directors, like our wireless is going to go out, and then we're going to get accused of cheating and all this stuff. So there was some of that too. This is just, please get this. I don't actually.
They're going to approve. I mean, I would be shocked if it doesn't
flip
through.
Yeah. Can we get him out for the Vegas Bowl? I mean, this is just stupid. I mean, and every kid on campus has earbuds. Everything is, nobody talks in person. They send text to each other. Get a little wristband with a text Apple Watch. Send a text.
Well, that's a possibility too. Wearables.
Kids don't talk anymore. They text.
On the wrist.
Yeah. Hit
call
them on Snap.
Play that way.
Hit me on Snap. What's the play? Mm-hmm. Coach, don't call me. I don't want to talk to you.
That's another decision the rules committee is going to have to make. Maybe a third thing to think about is, are you going to make the wearable devices legal where they put on
I
the,
would do that.
Put on the
honestly,
wrist.
I don't even know if these kids can talk on the phone.
Well, they don't need to talk. They just need to listen,
I don't
which
know.
Also
they definitely
could be an
don't
issue.
Listen.
Yeah.
But a nightmare.
Having
a coach talking to you right before the snap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Also, we're missing out on Nick Saban destroying tablets like Bill Belichick. Yeah. We've gotten a good decade of hysterical memes of Bill Belichick hucking tablets.
Yep.
We need that. We need Saban giving a good ass chewing. Yeah, I mean, I would break, if I was the Alabama quarterback, I would break my helmet. Or Brian Kelly.
The comms are going out immediately.
Brian Kelly breaking, yelling at me, turning like red. At least you can be like, I can't hear you, man. It's loud in here.
You have an MA with no time cutoff, you're done for. I mean, they're giving it to you until the next play. Oh, they can't help themselves.
You got to turn that thing down to 15 seconds. You got 15 to tell me the player. I'm running my own.
I'm sure they'll put a cutoff. I think coaches want to be cut off. Justin Wilcox was telling me, we need to be cut off, basically.
Yeah, they do. They do. Sounds like me at the bar. all right. Holiday
Bowl. I think
they
pass it. That's the
– They better.
The bottom line – I think it passes. AJ Eads of the Big Ten, who's overseeing a lot of this, and he's the chair of the Rules Committee, he gave me a quote, says, we are working towards 2024 and this being part of the permissive opportunity to be used. So I think that they are heading toward an approval of this. It's just going to have to be standard across the board, and they've got to figure out a couple of these things, right? A cutoff switch. They got to figure out if wearables –
seems easy.
Devices,
seems easy.
Are they going to use that? And they got to figure out how many players on a field are allowed to have it.
Like forget Connor Stallions and what he did. Like, there's a guy on every staff who's the sign stealing guy. And people are like, why did Michigan think Connor Stallions just came up with it? Because every staff has a sign stealer. They have multiple guys. They share info. They talk. Like, the amount of intelligent people who waste unbelievable amounts of hours stealing signs that could be doing something better with their life. on college football staffs. Like, it's just manpower. And then you have to spend all this time changing your signs each week. Like, just, it's just a complete waste of time. The whole thing's a waste of time. We can solve it. Solve it this way. I don't know. Please, please solve this one. Holiday Bowl, San Diego, USC versus Louisville. Good game. Louisville, Alexis Cubitt. I don't know if she's called Alex or not, from the Courier-Journal. Bang-up job on bowl questions, bowl stories. Actually, I think this just came up, but Stephen Heron, the Louisville defensive lineman, mentioned he was excited to go to the zoo, San Diego Zoo, and he offered up that he could his quote was this. He says if he got to the zoo, they were talking about animals, I guess animal fights. And he said, I feel like I can take an alligator. Question is, alligator versus Stephen Heron. Now, Heron, he's a big guy. 6'4", 240. Do you think he could take an alligator? We'll people's court this to both of you. Alligator, average size for a male, 11.2 feet. Female, 8.2. A large male can weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, no. No. Being somebody born in South Louisiana and seen my fair share of alligators, and being somebody who himself is 6'3", 210, I couldn't take an alligator, and neither this cat.
Sean?
I think there's life because, well, alligators' jaws, they have little strength for opening their mouth, right. But the muscles that squeeze them are ridiculous. So if you can get on them and get a good clasp on that mouth and jaw before it opens, I think that the defensive lineman has a good shot. If he doesn't, then we're straight up doing a board drill in the San Diego Zoo, which is lovely. I had a good time at the San Diego Zoo before. But I don't think it's worth a venture before a bowl game.
But then they roll you in the water. If we're in the water, see, we gotta figure out the situation here. Because if we're home anywhere near water, you're screwed.
Home or away, venue matters.
You're screwed because they'll roll you, take you underwater, and roll you, and then you know you'll be in trouble.
I watch a lot of Animal Attack YouTube, as we know, and they're patient too. It's really about the fast switch, though. Sean is correct.
Yeah.
You got to go after the gator before the gator comes after you, and you got to hold that thing down. You can grab it with the hand. I've seen them. They hold it with the hand, and the gator is just neutralized. And then with your other hand, you'd have to just beat the hell out of the gator. I don't know.
You got to start poking the eyes. You got to stab it in the body. You got to work the underbelly. Yeah.
The alligator killer, the alligator hunters, when they go out, you know, they take either a stick or a knife, and they stab it right in the brain.
See? So it can be done.
Well, I mean, if you have a weapon on a boat, sure. That's not fair to the alligator. What does he get?
I don't know. I don't know.
Human
That's
gets
the whole thing.
Weapon in boat.
All right. Well, then his teammate, Eric Miller, offensive lineman, he was asked about animal fights. He said he felt like he could take a manatee, but he would have to work out, quote, the whole underwater thing. Can a Louisville offensive lineman, Eric Miller, take out a manatee?
The whole underwater thing?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
the manatee.
He's just like,
chase him there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. The underwater thing is a big thing because we can't breathe underwater, and they can. So.
I think you got to catch the manatee in some shallow water.
Yeah,
you got to have a base underneath you. I mean, you can't get a manatee within 4 feet of water. Something lower than that. Go airborne. Try to land a big blow. But they are so – and they are like the size of refrigerators swimming. In Florida, had them run up on you. You're like, oh, my God, that is a boat in the water. You don't want to tussle with them. I think it's easier than an alligator, though. I think I'd have a better shot there.
It's less ferocious probably, but like what?
I think if that tail gets you, you got a big problem. That manatee tail gets you. You're in a bad situation, disoriented in the water.
It's nothing you can do with it. It's 13 feet 13'1" long and weighs about 1,300 pounds. So if you get in the shallow water, what are you going to do with it? You can't like carry it out of the water.
Dan, this is why these strength coaches get paid so much. All right. It's to get the manatees down. You got to take them down. You don't make $400,000 a year coaching supreme athletes to not have them be able to beat up a manatee.
No way. No way.
Yeah,
I'm going to animal on both of these.
Yeah, this is just not a chance. A manatee. I mean, they look, well, they're friendly. They just eat plants. Manatee's not bad. Yeah, you're not beating a manatee. What are you going to do with it? Even if you got the first punch in, it's not that that's going to happen. That manatee's going to just look at you.
It'd be a pretty cumbersome trophy also to hang in your house.
1,300 pounds of manatee?
Yeah, put it on the wall. The wall's coming down.
13 feet? Like, what are we doing? It's like when we did this with the Grizzlies. They had the poll who could beat a different animals. And so people, there was like 5% of American men thought they could defeat a grizzly bear. The damn thing's 10 feet tall. How are you even punching it? What are you? LeBron James, you're going to jump in the air and then punch it in the face? Like, well, how would you even attack the grizzly?
Your weaponry on a boat for a manatee isn't great either. You got like a bait knife. You got a, a boat broom. You don't have much.
The
going
only
on
thing you have is
propeller.
The motor, the propeller.
Yeah, exactly.
The propeller.
Coming. Oh, Lord, Dan.
That's what causes manatee deaths. I'm reading it right here on Wikipedia.
I know, Dan, too much. Too soon.
I've been watching the Komodo dragons, man. Those things are ferocious. Have you seen those things? They'll eat like a little calf, just one bite. Take the whole thing down, bones and all. Those things are terrifying. I don't know where they live.
I'm
like the Komodo dragon.
Where are we going here?
Off the rails. That's where we're going. Into the holiday drunk.
Seemed like an appropriate segue. Have you seen a Komodo dragon video, Sean?
Oh, they're terrifying. Yeah, I don't like, you know, you could be that dangerous if you're a little bit smaller. But if it's the size of a Labrador, then we're really in problem territory.
They just march up and they just snag the thing and then they eat the entire body in one bite. It's not that big. It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, man, it would have been better if some more people had flipped. The hell?
Yeah, it's too bad.
Recruits being loyal.
There's a flip right here. There's a breaking flip. It's not a big one, I don't think. That three-star Rob Booker was originally committed to Wisconsin. He committed, then he flipped his commitment to UCLA over the summer. He flipped back today. To the Badgers.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh, wait. I just got Jeremiah Smith has not sent his paperwork in yet. But is expected to. Well, there was
to Ohio State?
No. Yeah. Might have to redo this whole thing.
Oh, no.
I'm sure it's coming through. Our man Adam Gorney is saying... obviously keeping a close eye on this one, but doesn't seem like a major surprise situation playing out. Famous last words. Yeah. Look, so in lieu of that, let's talk about Komodo dragons. And I don't know. Anyway, all right, we're going to be back next week. So Pat obviously wasn't here, but he'll be back Monday. Christmas Day is Monday. We're releasing Bowl Bonanza 2, which we already taped. Bowl Bonanza 2. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
Is that the one where I was watching the court hearing, the transfer policy court hearing, or maybe that was?
I don't
the
think so.
One? I don't
no,
remember.
I think that. I think we already did that. No, I think that one came out. Okay. Bowl Bonanza 2. Anyway, that's coming out, and then next week we'll do. I don't know what. I don't know how this whole schedule's playing out, but we'll get into issues and preview the actual national semifinals. It's funny because we have a playoff going on. It's a playoff going on. And so we'll talk about that next week. Forgot to mention this early in the show, but I guess these are the diehards still listening. We're contemplating doing something down in Houston before the national championship game. Was a meetup or a show. send us on Twitter your bar recommendations where we might do this. Could be downtown Houston, could be out in the suburbs. I don't know where people are all living and everything. I got a few good places in downtown, but if you're interested, let us know. We'll hear you out and all that. So just hit us up on Twitter. Other than that, that's the show. I think once we're talking Komodo dragons, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's officially over. All right, that's it.
Happy holidays.
Continue to subscribe. And not our best episode, by the way.
No.
I don't think that was our best episode. But, you know, you got to have they can't all be your best. Can't all be your best.
You're playing down a man.
We're down a man. We're, yeah.
So Sean filled in admirably.
Sean, I mean, we kind of, yeah, it's kind of an upgrade at times. anyway, thanks for subscribing and listening. We will talk to you later.